Welcome to Crown of Life Baptist Church.
I am dwelling on the mountain where the golden sunlight gleams, o'er a land whose wondrous beauty far exceeds my fondest dreams. I am drinking from the fountain where I ever would abide, for I've
Good morning, Central Indiana. You are listening to Pastor Greg DeZula of Crown of Life Baptist Church, currently meeting at the Wyndham Hotel Noblesville. We invite you to join our Sunday morning service at 10 o'clock, preparing hearts to embrace God's Word and desiring His coming kingdom. God is calling sinners to the cross, and He is calling believers to the crown. Enjoy today's program with Pastor Greg DeZula. Be listening to the end of today's program for opportunities on how you can support this radio ministry. Jesus said, "Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life."
Good morning to every one of you listening to this radio broadcast. I hope you are staying healthy and well as this new Delta variant of the Wuhan CCP COVID bioengineered synthetic virus advances rapidly through communities, congregations, and families, doing much harm and damage to the people's health. Don't be a human guinea pig for Tony Fauci, Bill Gates, Moderna, Pfizer, and Johnson & Johnson. These individuals and organizations are committing genocide. Please do all that you can to enhance your immune system naturally. Learn all that you can about the COVID vaccine from the sincere and God-fearing medical doctors and virologists that have been canceled by the social media giants. And whatever you do, don't take that unapproved experimental vaccine that will surely shorten your lifespan. As this dispensation winds down, there are significant events that are prophesied to befall the earth. The title of today's message is The Battle of Gog. G-O-G. This is not the name of some new cyber ninja warrior game, but a real-life event that Ezekiel prophesied many millenniums earlier, almost 2,600 years ago to be more exact. Discovering the details of this future event is paramount to understanding and differentiating the many future events that are still to unfold as our Lord's second coming is nigh at hand. There is also in Scripture the mention of the Battle of Armageddon, which we find in Revelation chapter 16. Is this the same battle as the Battle of Gog that Ezekiel prophesied, or is it different? What are the similarities? What are the differences? That will be my objective in this series, to disclose the subtleties of these prophecies. Then to add even more complexity to the configuration of these events, there has been much added discussion about Psalm 83 war. The Psalm 83 war was written some 3,000 years ago by King David's worship leader, Asaph. Asaph is also identified in Scripture as David's seer or a prophet. So Psalm 83 is an unfulfilled prophecy that must be calculated into the other battles that are still future. Now, to add even More complexity upon complexity, there is a future battle, also called the Battle of Gog in the book of Revelation, chapter 20, that occurs at the end of the future millennial dispensation, which dispensation is also identified as the coming kingdom of Christ when he personally rules and reigns upon this earth. We must ask the question, is the Battle of Gog mentioned in Ezekiel chapter 38 the same event mentioned in Revelation 20? Please listen intently as I untangle this web of future events to lay out a clear panoramic view of prophecy and answer the question, who will and who will not see these events unfold? Jesus emphatically stated, when these things begin to come to pass, then look up and lift up your heads, for your redemption draweth nigh. The Battle of Gog, part 3.
The Gentile nations that join Gog are descriptive and many. So we're going to go through all these names here. You have Persia. What's Persia? What's Persia? Iran. But I think I've told you this in the past. This is Persia. This was the land of Persia. How many remember the Shah of Iran? He was a Persian king. The Ayatollahs were Islamic and radical Islamics. Great conflict in that country. And we had a Persian family that lived in my neighborhood. They had a daughter a year or two below me in grade. And my mother was good friends with her mother. And they just lived a few doors away from us. And they despised being called Iranians. She said, we're Persians. We're Persians. And they were big supporters of the Shah. They despised the Ayatollahs and the radical clerics that took over that country. And so those are the Persians, or Persia. So that is what Persia is. And the Persians, women, and under the Shah, the women were able to dress like you and I, like you ladies are able to dress. And even though they were, some of them were Muslims, they were not strict in any way about the women wearing the hijab on them and the face mask and everything, which has drastically changed under the Ayatollahs. And there has been tremendous war fighting or protesting in their country. The people wanted the Ayatollahs kicked out of that country. But Persia, Ethiopia, where's Ethiopia? You got Ethiopia down here. Sudan, Ethiopia, in Africa. So Ethiopia is still in existing. You have Libya, which is to the west of Egypt. It's sort of hidden there. You just see a little bit of it. Who was the ruler, famous ruler of Libya? Muammar Gaddafi, killed under Obama's administration. He wasn't woke enough for them. Do you know that he was, you know how Europe has the EU, the European Economic Union? They formed that and they're trying to dissolve all the borders of the nations, and England just extracted itself out of the EU. And, African nations were doing the same. They were forming an African Economic Union in Africa. And shortly before Gaddafi was killed, he was voted as the head of that union. And he was eliminated. Persia, Ethiopia, Libya with them, all of them with shield and helmet. Gomer and all his bands, we'll talk about these in a moment. The house of Togarmah, of the north quarters and all his bands and many people with thee, Sheba, Dedan, and the merchants of Tarshish with all the young lions thereof shall say unto thee, art thou come to take a spoil? Hast thou gathered thy company to take a prey, to carry away silver and gold, to take away cattle and goods, to take a good great spoil? There is a correlation between the early Gentile descendants and the nations that join Gog in the future age. The sons of Gomer, Ashkenaz, Riphan, Togomar, and the sons of Javan, Elishish, Tarshish, Kittim, and Dodan. All these nations, you find this in Genesis chapter 10. These are the descendants of Japheth. These are Gentiles. Gomer is believed to be the Gauls and Celts who settled. What was France called before it was called France? It was called Gaul. The northern part of the Roman Empire, that was called Gaul. And you had the Celts people. The Celts gradually went across the English Channel into Ireland. But the Germans and French, Gauls and Celts, Togomar, the Turks, Arminians, here's Turkey. Right here, you have the Turks, Armenia, right here. They have warred with one another, right, in this region up in here. A great slaughter just before. And nobody talks about the slaughter that took place about those Armenians. But the Turks slaughtered the Armenians. I forget what they call it. Before, that's what convinced Hitler to kill the Jews. Nobody said anything about the Armenians getting annihilated. There was no noise abroad and around the world, so I'm going to do the same thing to the Jews. That's what gave him the idea and figured, hey, nobody's going to say anything. I'll just slaughter them. And the Armenians today, they remember that. It's a tragic time, but very few. It's not in your history books. So you have the Turks and the Armenians. Dedan. And you can see how close Russia is right over here. Right here. Real easy to come in. Come down here. Come in through this area. The Turkey would be a little conflict. And the problem with the Black Sea being a seaport, you have a very narrow passage of land through here. And at one time, you didn't have bridges. What made Alexander the Great great as a young general in his 20s was he was able to get an army across this piece of land right here, land bridge, or there is actually a body of water for the Black Sea to empty out into. But it's very narrow, and so it's not easy for a lot of your large shipping commercial traffic. But he got his army across here, and once he got in Turkey, he just swept across into all the way up to India. And that made him a great general. It was the speed he moved across that territory. And so you have Dedan, the son of Cush, the grandson of Ham, Egypt, the sons of Ham, Cush, and Mizraim, and Put. And I was thinking about that when I said Put, King Tut. I wonder if that's where he got his name from. You know, these names, Just because we have it spelled differently here in the English, who knows? They could have been the same name. Canaan and the sons of Cush, Seba and Havilah and Sabta and Ramah and Sabtecta and the sons of Ramah, Sheba and Dedan. So these again are in Genesis, you have the sons of Ham, you have the sons of Japheth. Israel also came to Egypt, and Jacob sojourned in the land of Ham. Another name for Egypt in the scriptures is the land of Ham. And Ham was one of the sons of Noah. Jews from Eastern Europe and Russia are called Ashkenazi Jews. Gomer's son was Ashkenaz. Ashkenaz. You see that? Go back up to your notes there. You'll see that in Genesis chapter 10:3. Ashkenaz. And you study the Jews, there's two divisions of Jews. The Sephardic Jews and the Ashkenaz. And I asked years ago, I knew these things because I lived around Jews all my life. Grew up with Jewish, I had many classmates who were Jewish. And I asked an employer, my boss at a company I worked for, and he explained to me what one of the main things that designates an Ashkenazi Jew versus a Sephardic Jew is their music style. Think of Spanish music and think of the Stoic Russians. Okay? Their music style was much different in their synagogues, he told me. And so the Sephardic Jews came from Spain, North Africa, Southern Italy, around the Middle East. The Ashkenazis, it says there in your notes, also refers to Jews who lived in the Rhineland Valley and in neighboring France before their migration eastward to Slavic lands after the Crusades. So they moved from Europe up into the Eastern Europe and into the Russian area. And so they're called Ashkenaz. And so we see Gomer and his descendants, Ashkenaz, so we see where that word comes from. It's no coincidence that that hospital in Indianapolis called Ashkenazi. That's where you get that Ashkenazi. They just changed the letter there. And that Sidney and Lois Ashkenazi, they are Jews. They lived, I read his bio, and he grew up on the south side of Indianapolis, most likely near Shapiro's. How many like their Shapiro's hot salami, hot pastrami sandwiches? That is some good eating right there. But he grew up a poor man, poor young kid, and got an education. And Mel Simon, and his first employer was Mel Simon. Worked with Mel Simon in the 50s, 60s, early 60s. And then he himself bought smaller types of malls all around the country. But Ashkenazi, that's where you get that Ashkenazi. That's that you see that coincidence there. Strong possibility Tarshish could be England. Scripture refers to its isles and young lions or colonies. And people have asked, is America in the Bible? Well, this is the closest possibility that America is referred to in the Bible as the possibility of the young lions being the colonies of Tarshish. America may be included in that colony. The early kings of England, going back to the Norman dynasty, chose the lion as a badge of or symbol of their courage and strength. You have in 2 Chronicles 9, 20 and 21, and all the drinking vessels of King Solomon were of gold. And all the vessels of the house of the forest of Lebanon were of pure gold. None were of silver. It was not anything accounted of in the days of Solomon, for the king's ships went to Tarshish with the servants of Haran. Every 3 years, once came the ships of Tarshish bringing gold of Uphaz or Ophir, and silver, iron, or ivory, excuse me, apes and peacocks. How many have been into restaurants in Florida where they got peacocks in a courtyard? I've eaten in restaurants and they have tons of peacocks. Now, man has been hunting ever since these words have been penned, especially in our modern era, have been hunting, where is the gold of Ophir? Where is the gold of Uphaz? Where is that gold? Notice it took 3 years for those ships to cruise the Atlantic. The ships went out of the Mediterranean Sea, and some were not sure where exactly they went to, but it could have been England, or it could have been some of England's colonies. But this is before England was even a nation. And some believe there is some indication that they came to America, that they searched for those gold and silver. They got the gold and silver for Solomon in America, because there's some ancient Hebrew writings that have been discovered in Texas, in the Gulf. They came up in through the Gulf, but they can't find the mines. They can't find the gold. It was the best gold, best quality of gold. And these ships came with all these merchandise every 3 years. So they had to be sailing around into the Atlantic and going across into possibly South America, North America, or up into England in the northern part of Europe. And then bringing those things back to Israel. But men have been searching for this gold, and where did Solomon get this gold? And they claim it was the most precious of gold that there is. And they can't find these gold mines. Man is trying to search for these gold mines. So Jonah tried to flee to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. It tells us here, but Jonah rose up to flee to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord and went down to Joppa, and he found a ship going to Tarshish. So he came to the coast of Israel. Joppa is right in this area down in here. It's more of a southern area of Israel, and take a ship out of the Mediterranean into the Atlantic to Tarshish. We all know what happened there. In the coming kingdom age, the kings of Tarshish and of the Isles shall bring presents. The kings of Sheba and Seba shall offer gifts, it tells us in Psalm 72. So in the kingdom age, Tarshish is not totally destroyed and will be in the kingdom. You read that about the nations that will be in the kingdom and the nations that won't be in the kingdom in Matthew chapter 25, in the judgment of the nations. In the Olivet Discourse, the Lord gives us that story. You have in chapter 25, you have the story of the 10 virgins, 5 foolish, 5 wise. You have the parable of the talents, and then you have the judgment of the nations. Those three things the Lord conveys to us. So, now, we're going to stop, because if I get into the war of Psalm 83, we will be there for another half hour, because that is relatively new in the prophecies of wars to come. The Psalm 83 war. Is there a war called another war coming? And we'll talk about the Psalm 83 because I want to read it and explain to you the difference between the nations in Psalm 83 and in the battle of Gog. So do you understand? Are you grasping some of these things? There's more to be taught, more to be said, more to learn, more to understand the contrast. But major, major battle. I mean, this is going to be the major thing on CNN. This will be the major thing in New York Times, on Washington Post, on your blogs that you read. This is going to be a major, major, major event. Now, we think, you know, Iran is going to bomb Israel. But God doesn't give any indication of that. Because God will prevent that. And let me tell you, Israel has spies in Iran, and they'll put an end to any kind of nuclear activity by Iran. You know, they're all brothers. Esau, and Isaac, they're all brothers and cousins. So they all look alike. So they can easily infiltrate each other's defense systems. They know those languages. They learn those languages very easily. So I tell you, Israel's intelligence will keep any nuclear bomb from coming out of a silo in Iran. Heavenly Father, we just come to you, Lord, in the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior. Thank you, Lord, for each person that's here today. Lord, we pray for those traveling. Just give them traveling mercies. Watch over them. And Lord, we just pray that you would be with all our other needs. Be with each person. Bless their day. Help them. Give them strength. We pray for our nation. Pray, Lord, that there would be a change of direction, a change of heart. And Lord, pray that you will not destroy this nation until you take your saints out of it. And Lord, we give you the praise, honor, and glory in Jesus' name. Amen.
You have been listening to Greg DeZula of Crown of Life Baptist Church. Join us every Sunday morning here on Freedom 95 at 7:30 and Sunday service at 10 a.m. Currently meeting at the Wyndham Hotel, formerly the Cambria Hotel, 13500 Tegeler Drive, Noblesville, where you will hear the hard-hitting truths found in the Word of God, unabashedly proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ and His coming kingdom from the inerrant and infallible King James Bible, the true voice of freedom. If you enjoy this programming and would like to send support, please mail to P.O. Box 47201, Indianapolis, Indiana 46247-0201. Your financial support is tremendously appreciated. Email Pastor Greg at gdzula@gmail.com. That's gdzula@gmail.com. We look forward to hearing from you.